I next met with Dr. Richard Stone, and to begin, I asked him about some of the key data sets that were presented at ASH on the management of patients with acute myeloid leukemia. So I'll start out by asking you, from your point of view, what were some of the most important things that were presented on AML?
Certainly the late-breaking abstract was the one that had the most potential to change practice in the near future. And that, of course, was the results of the QUASAR trial, which was testing whether oral azacitidine in, depending on how you use the terminology, consolidation or maintenance, really they called it maintenance, would be used. It was a positive trial for survival in people that had received whatever chemo they were going to get for their AML. These are people over age 55. And then they were randomized to nothing or to the oral azacitidine. And amazingly enough, the oral azacitidine led to a survival advantage. So the notion that we always had or have had for the last umpteen years about not using maintenance may be changing due to this oral agent's availability once it becomes available.
You refer to it as oral azacitidine. What is it?
Well, it is oral azacitidine, but it's not the same drug as IV or subcutaneous azacitidine. I mean, it's the same chemicals, but the delivery and therefore the exposure to the target tissues with the two formulations, let's say sub-Q or IV on the one hand, and oral on the other, could be quite different. The levels of the active metabolite, azacitidine, and the duration of exposure to that active metabolite could well be different in these two situations. So I don't think, number one, that means you can't necessarily just replace the dose of oral azacitidine used in that trial, in the QUASAR trial, with azacitidine that's being used in mild dysplasia or in AML right now. It will spurn additional trials. It would be great to have an oral agent that could replace IV or sub-Q AZA in MDS and in AML, but I don't think we can make that leap. That would be a mistake right now to just willy-nilly substitute oral AZA for IV or sub-Q AZA. So the initial use, at least, assuming the drug is approved based on the QUASAR trial, should be in exactly the indication for which patients would have been eligible for that trial.
Now, these patients in the trial, they could go to transplant?
They were not supposed to. These were patients who were transplant, not ineligible, but not going to transplant. So they would get their initial induction chemotherapy for one or two cycles, and then they would get either zero, one, or two cycles of additional so-called consolidation after they were in remission, and then they'd be randomized to oral AZA or not. And according to my discussions with the author, there were very few patients who actually went on to transplant. Obviously, if a patient wanted to go to transplant, they couldn't stop them, but that was not the intent.
And most of these patients get 7+3?
We don't have the full data on the induction regimens, but most did get 7+3, as far as I know.
And you talked about the possibility of extending beyond the scope of this particular trial, but it sounds like you're saying you would need a trial from scratch to prove it.
Right. For example, as we talked about the regimen of azacitidine plus venetoclax, which is approved for use in elderly unfit individuals, and as you pointed out on numerous occasions, has widely been adopted quickly by community practitioners around the country. Anyway, I would not use oral azacitidine and oral venetoclax together yet and just say, okay, that's great. It might be great. It might not be. We don't know. And I think a carefully controlled trial will need to be done to prove that oral azacitidine and venetoclax might represent an all-oral therapy for older adults with AML. That would be wonderful, but we need to show that before we just give it to patients